That's music arranged by Marcel Grandjani and performed by harpist Suzanne MacDonald. And I knew as soon as that tune started that I recognized it, and the notes for this particular recording jogged my memory. It's based on an original 16th century lute piece which Ottorino Respighi arranged as one of the movements in one of his suites of ancient airs and dances for orchestra. And that's how I got to know that tune, but this a little closer to the original, I suspect, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Suzanne MacDonald is a distinguished professor at Indiana University, and she also happens to be one of the teachers of the professor of harp at the University of Illinois, which, of course, is where WYLL is based. And her name, Ann Young. Ann Young is head of the Illinois Summer Harp Class, which happens every year at about this time, sponsored by the School of Music. And that is getting underway on Wednesday and running through Saturday. And Anne is here with us, as well as another Anne, whose name is Anne McLaughlin. And the latter Anne will actually be doing some live playing for us coming up. She's participating in two of the recitals, actually giving one solo recital during the festival this week. So, Anne and Anne, thank you for coming in. And thank you for letting me know about this year's event.
Thank you very much for having us.
Sure. You've got, of course, Anne McLaughlin is a student of yours, and you have a number of other students who are going to be, of yours, who are going to be performing on during the harp class. So I assume all those concerts are open to anybody who wants to go?
Yes, they're all open and free, and we would love to have the public come. It's going to be an exciting concert series this year.
Where do all the concerts take place?
They actually will all be in the Music Building Auditorium this year. So once you find one concert, you'll be able to find the next two, three, four, five concerts after that.
And the first of those is on Thursday, I guess.
Yes, at 7:30 p.m.
With a woman who's been on the show a couple of times playing, Chen Yu Huang, who was actually the Krannert Center's debut artist three years ago, 2010. She plays with the Illinois Symphony, harpist there, and then Julia K. Jameson, who I've never managed to get in the studio here, but I've certainly heard her play. She plays with the Cleveland Chamber Orchestra, and we'll mention some of the other ones that go along. I know that you have mentioned Suzanne MacDonald in the past when you've been on the show before. Did you study with her your full time in Indiana?
Yes, I did. I went to Indiana for my undergraduate through my doctoral work, and so she was the only harp professor that I studied with there. I went to a couple master classes of hers out in California, where I'm from originally, before college, and that's how we crossed paths and met.
So is she virtually your only harp teacher?
No, actually, I studied with a couple. I started with a wonderful woman named Penny Hawk Beavers, who's actually from Joliet, Illinois, originally. And she was the only harp teacher from where I was in California, in Fresno. So that's who I started with. And then I did spend my senior year of high school traveling down to Los Angeles maybe once a month or so to take some lessons with Joanne Tarofsky, who is the professor at the University of Southern California and a former student of Suzanne MacDonald as well.
So there's definitely some regular connections to Suzanne. I just asked because I've played from these particular recordings that we have of hers here a number of times when I was hosting a classical show here at the station, and I just was curious what sort of things you admired about her playing. What are some things that you feel very strongly that you have taken with you from her and incorporated in your own playing and teaching, for that matter?
Well, I think Suzanne MacDonald, she's sort of a unique figure in the harp world in many ways. And getting to hear, she's known for her rich and marvelous sound, and her ease of playing, her musicality is just very effortless but lively, that sort of passion. And she studied with Henriette Régnier, one of the composers of some of the pieces that Anne McLaughlin is going to play. So there's that direct connection to that wonderful French heritage in many ways as well. And she did many recordings. She was the first American to be awarded the Premier Prix, the first prize in harp from the Paris Conservatoire. And I think there's some tales of her playing to one of the full stadiums of 10,000 people or so when she came back. So that was a big deal back then. So she's sort of a figure who's also been devoted to teaching as well, has written many transcriptions and compositions. And so she's had many students from all over the world come study her over these years who are now distinguished artists or, you know, teachers throughout. So there's this wonderful sort of community that she always sort of encouraged in her studio. And actually, Anne McLaughlin's former teacher at the University of North Texas, Jamie Hafner, was a student of Suzanne a little bit after my time. I'm dating myself now. So there's this wonderful sort of dedication to teaching and music for the harp through her.
So you mentioned Suzanne's sound, in particular. It's been a while since I've actually heard you not on a recording. So I don't, and of course I've only heard her in a recording. So it's very difficult to judge these things from listening from my perspective. But would you say that you have incorporated or borrowed elements of that sound, or is that something that's unique to her that's really hard to transmit?
You know, every person is different in their body, so I would say that awareness of it definitely was, it's like once you hear it, you're like, oh, and once you realize the difference in the sound, then you start to notice it within your own playing. So in that sense, just hearing the example from her of the possibility of it certainly enhanced my awareness in my own playing of it. And so I guess, yes, there's definitely that sort of influence or that encouragement of that aspect of playing. Like, you can have some people who focus very much on the technique or on sort of the rigor of the musical score or the presentation, the performance. I mean, she would do all of that as well. But if there's one aspect that she was able to sort of really sort of share, it's that supple sound. And suppleness is something that I think that Mademoiselle Renier also spoke very high, and that's playing relaxed, you know, playing relaxed and efficient. There's not much fuss, you know, or histrionics, but out of it comes this very natural approach and way to play the instrument and the music.
You mentioned the people's bodies are different. Of course, we know that in general. But it just occurs to me, since you've said that perhaps, and I'm trying to think quickly as I'm about to say this, that perhaps string instruments, along with the voice, are the instruments that may be most affected by one's body. In that, for example, on a woodwind or a brass instrument, while of course you're blowing air through and your fingers are doing things, and tension in your body can certainly be represented in the sound and so on, you still put a valve down and you produce a note. Of course, your lips have to do what they have to do, but on a string instrument, the weight of the bow, if it's a violin or a cello or bass, what you do with your left hand, because it's so iffy what can happen, particularly again on the unfretted string instruments. And I would imagine that very much on the harp, where how you pluck the note, with what part of your finger, with what sort of energy, with how hard or soft, really will affect so much how that instrument sounds, maybe more than the non-string instruments, long way of saying that.
Well, it's very immediate, for sure. I mean, I think, Anne just, she has her beautiful new harp in the studio. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about selecting it or just that sense, what your sense is of playing this instrument.
Well, for me, that's one of the best things about playing the harp is that immediacy of the sound. And you don't have that in a lot of instruments. You play a piano, and it's actually a hammer inside the piano making the sound. And because of that, you feel extra connected, I believe, to your instrument. And when I went to the factory, the Lyon & Healy Harp Factory in Chicago, to select my harp in September, I would line up harps that I liked the sound when I initially played them. And then I would sit on each one and play a part of a piece and see if I still liked the sound if I played more on it, and I liked the way it felt to play. And I chose my harp based on the sound and how it felt to play, because I felt like on this harp I got the best sound with the least amount of effort, which is what you want out of your own harp.
I remember years ago helping, or at least being one of the ears, listening to a friend who was trying to choose a new violin. And I remember that those of us who were listening, two of us in particular, sort of thought this one instrument sounded, we liked the sound of it the best. And her comment was, well, she said she would take it, she would hold on to that one for a while just because she respected what we had to say about it. But she said that was the one that she didn't understand as well, as opposed to another one that really felt almost to be a part of her. And again, I can imagine that for an instrument where your fingers are doing the playing,
yes,
that would be especially important.
Yes, because when I played this harp, actually, I narrowed all the harps down to three, and this harp from the beginning was the one that just spoke to me, and I sat down and played it, and it felt like an extension of myself. Mm. Like we understood each other, and it was like the harp almost chooses you. Like, I like how you play, so I'm going to play well for you.
So. Oh, very nice. So do you think your harp has a personality? Did it have one before you got it, and has it changed to adapt to yours since, now that you've been playing it some number of months?
I wouldn't feel that way, actually, about it. It stayed pretty much how it was when I purchased it initially. It has developed a stronger, richer sound, though, which is natural for a harp as the wood ages.
I suddenly thought of an analogy with Harry Potter and the selection of a wand.
It's actually just like it. That's how I felt when I picked my harp.
Because they say in there that the wand chooses the wizard. In this case, the harp chooses the harp.
Harpist. Yes, I think this was quite a while ago when we had the luxury. I mean, the line in Healy Factory is right up I-57 in Chicago. So we had an opportunity at the university many years ago to select an instrument from the university. And at that time, mind you, harps don't grow on trees, or they come from trees, but they actually had a huge selection. So I brought a group of my students up there, and we were going through these harps and trying, because a harp can sound very different depending on who's playing it. And we spent hours. We had lunch at like 2 in the afternoon because we were starving, couldn't see straight. And we're like, can we pick a harp? And one of my other students who was considering, getting a new harp, trading in, you know, it's a big commitment and a purchase. So she was finally saying, I don't think I could choose. I'm just, you know, it's overwhelming because we kept going between this instrument and that instrument. And I was like, well, you know what, you'll know when you do. And there happened to be this wonderful instrument, the same model as Anne's that's here in the studio, that was sitting on the showroom floor. And it wasn't the one that she had been looking at. She was planning to get a different type of harp at that time, actually an electroacoustic one. And she happened to just try it, and we're like, wait, this is an amazing harp. And actually it was destined to be shipped overseas, actually, to another show, where we're like, well, if you really like it, you should really, you know, consider getting it now. And so they were able to pull a couple instruments into the room for us to hear, and that student who wasn't sure if she could choose her played a couple, and then she's like, this is it,
that's
the one,
that's it.
Yes. So
maybe you should just trust your initial judgment and not spend the but I guess you have to hear the others just to sort of confirm that judgment. I'm talking with Anne Young, who is professor of harp at the University of Illinois, and Anne McLaughlin, who is one of her students. In what program are you in?
I'm in the master's program.
And Anne Young is directing the Illinois Summer Harp Class, which is running, I said Wednesday. Yeah, it is Wednesday through.
Well, it actually officially starts on Thursday, but I'll be doing some private lessons on Wednesday.
Our first concert
starts on Thursday evening, and then we have two concerts a day on Friday and on Saturday. And Saturday we end with all 14 participants this year playing in the final recital, as well as a harp quartet from Louisville, Kentucky. And then we will be putting together a piece by Julia K. Jameson for multiple harps, which we do in basically 2.5 rehearsals. So it'll be interesting.
And you've played, the group harp has played pieces of hers before, or at least last year, I think.
Yes, we've been fortunate enough to commission her to write a new work for the past few years, actually. So it's been a brand new work every year, and somehow every year they put it together. And she swears that this year's is not as tricky as last year's, but I just had my ringers, my assistants, read through it. And it's going to be an exciting ride on Saturday.
So they may disagree with her on that point.
Well, let's say there's a lot of fun, groovy rhythms. It's inspired by Pink Floyd, and it's got quotes from Stravinsky and Grieg and some ska and some inspiration from 1980s television shows like Chips. So it's going to be a fun ride, I think.
Okay.
Exciting, for sure.
So that's going to happen on Saturdays. This is the participants' recital.
Yes, on
so
the
Saturday
final
night,
recital.
7 o'clock. Well, Anne McLaughlin's going to be playing on two recitals. Well,
yes.
One of them, and both of them doing solo. I know you're playing with Molly Madden on Friday at noon. Are you each playing solo, or are you
We're each playing solos.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's going to happen on Friday noon. Again, these are all going to be in the Music Building Auditorium, which is in the School of Music Building on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And then Anne will be playing her own recital, a solo recital, on, I'm looking at the schedule here and not reading it.
Friday
well.
Night. It's a bit of an intense thing, but actually Anne is going to be participating in a special opportunity this summer. So she actually has, she's going to be competing in the USA International Harp Competition, which takes place every 3 years in Bloomington, Indiana. And it's a four-stage competition, and all of the music has to be memorized except for one new piece that was announced. So playing two recitals in a day, well, it'll be a piece of cake to do the competition after that, right?
Well, of course, Anne brought her harp ready to play, and it certainly had a chance to get acclimated. I hope the tuning is still good, because she was working on that for a while. It takes a while to tune a harp. What do you want to play first for us?
I'd like to play Le Rossignol, which is a French piece, originally arranged by Liszt for the piano, and then transcribed for harp by Henriette Renier, who was Suzanne MacDonald's teacher.
Okay, Le Rossignol means the nightingale.
Thank you.
Harpist Anne McLaughlin, live in our studio on Live and Local, playing music by Franz Liszt, originally for piano. It's called The Nightingale, or Le Rossignol, as transcribed by Henriette Renier. And that will be among the numerous or several pieces, I haven't seen the program, that she will be playing in a recital on Friday night at 7:30 as part of the Illinois Summer Harp Class series of concerts, which the first of which happens on Thursday and the last of which happens on Saturday. They're all going to be in the Music Building Auditorium at the University of Illinois, and they are all free to the public. Certainly welcome to go hear Anne on Friday night. You can also hear her along with another harpist from the University of Illinois Harp Studio, Molly Madden, and during a noontime recital also on Friday. And then we'll talk about some of the other performers later. And your teacher who's in the studio with us, Ann Young. It gets a little, all these Anns get confusing here.
But without an E.
I know.
And neither of you have
unusual.
An E. Yeah.
No. Actually, one of the participants' mother's name is Ann without an E as well. And it was funny because we had a guest in March who came through Naoko Yoshino. And we were all going to go to dinner before we got that amazing 13-plus inches of snowstorm. But I told the guests, I was like, it'll be easy. If you say Anne, it'll be the right name for at least three of the five people there.
Yeah. Well, Anne McLaughlin. Well, Anne Young, you mentioned that Anne McLaughlin is going to be playing this piece and others for a competition coming up, a rather large one. What made you decide to do this competition? And are you the only one from the U of I doing it?
Yes, I'm the only one doing it this year. I've always wanted to do a large international competition, and it's always been in the back of my mind to do one, and it just so happened that this specific international competition fit well in terms of me changing harp programs for grad school, and just in my development as a player, I felt like this was a good time for me to push myself and see if I could learn over two hours worth of memorized repertoire and perform it all at a very high level.
Well, best of luck with that. I imagine that this business of achieving in what some could say are unusual sorts of things, not everybody chooses to pick up the harp. I mean, if you have an orchestra, there's one harpist, for example, and of course many orchestras don't have a harpist and many harpists don't play in orchestras, but I'm leading up to this, what I find the most interesting part of your biography, because these things really don't combine very often, which is to say that I understand you also are an accomplished unicyclist. So is this you being a glutton for punishment or just finding things that are different to do?
I just like doing different things. I guess I've always been, you know, leaning in that direction towards, oh, that's different. Nobody else does it. Why don't I try that? I also really love performing in any way. And I used to do artistic unicycling, which is a skating routine on a unicycle, more or less. So you'd have a gym floor and you would have a certain amount of time and you would choreograph a routine to a certain amount of music that they'd allot you, and you could pick your piece, you could pick your tricks, and you would go to competition. And I just, like, it's like being a harpist, and it was just another form of artistic expression for me.
I have to say, Anne was very kind to send a video of them doing this. And if you can imagine, Anne is the oldest of five kids from South Dakota, and they all have bright red hair, and a quintet of them were doing a choreographed routine on unicycles. It was really actually quite amazing.
So you and all your siblings do the,
yeah,
I was
we would
say
do this.
Play the unicycle, but you
no, we would do this every summer. We would for 5 years. We would take our large car and load it with all of our unicycles and all of our costumes, and we would drive. We went to Memphis 1 year and Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think those were the two farthest we went to, and compete for 4 or 5 days.
And it has to be said that I guess you were the 2007 and 2008 National Junior Artistic Freestyle Champion.
Yes.
Which sounds like a big thing. And ranked second in the nation in a pairs freestyle in 2009. So by any chance, was the other part of the pair a sibling of yours?
Yes, it was. It was my brother, who's 2 years younger than me.
Oh, very good. We can't, unfortunately, demonstrate that in this room, nor would it be any use on the radio. But sometime it would certainly be fun to see. And you do ballroom dance.
Yes.
As well. As in competition?
No, actually, that's my one thing that I don't want to compete in because it's my stress relief. At the end of the week, I go dancing, and I like to learn new moves, but I don't have to be the best at it.
That sounds like everybody needs that sort of thing. Well, I certainly wish you the best of luck in the competition. We're talking about, Anne McLaughlin at the moment, who's going to be one of the recitalists at the Illinois Summer Harp class, and also talking with Professor Ann Young, who is the director of the Illinois Summer Harp class. She's also the professor of harp at the University of Illinois School of Music. Ann Young, you're leading, daily master classes, sometimes twice daily master classes. For those who don't know that term, what happens at a master class, and maybe specifically what's going to happen at these master classes?
Well, you know, usually master class is when someone comes through and the participants perform, pretty much perform a piece at performance level so they can sort of get feedback or impressions from it. What's interesting about the summer harp class and something that's really been always enjoyable from the very beginning of it, it's a wide age and level difference. So it's for some of the participants, it's the very first time they've ever actually really gone to a group setting, played in front of people. And then you also have people who are at a very, very advanced level. So we've had people from the ages of 7 all the way up to the age of 55. And usually what we do is they'll perform their piece in front, or they'll play their piece generally at close to performance level or so. And then I give them some feedback and also work with them a little bit. It's not quite like a private lesson one-on-one because you have to also be talking and sharing information and ideas that would be helpful to the other people listening. But it's just like a good opportunity for people to hear lots of different pieces, get some ideas, hopefully get inspired, meet new friends and peers. And we have a pretty high rate of people who come back from year to year, and it's always fun to hear the next year someone's playing a piece that they heard the year before because they just wanted to learn it after hearing it at the previous summer harp class.
Will Anne McLaughlin be playing at any of the master classes?
I don't know. Depends. We have a pretty full class here, but it'll depend on sort of this thing, the sign-up sheet and so, and if, you know, she wants to, I'm certainly glad to hear her before that. She'll probably be running around moving a lot of harps, too, because she's doing double duty as an assistant. So that, as you can imagine, there's a lot of paraphernalia that goes with harps. And for the harp jam, we will be having, 16. She knows better than I do at this point.
16 harps, 16 benches.
Yeah, 16 harps and 16 benches that need to be moved to one place and then tuned and moved back.
So my question about, you know, whether you might be participating in the master class is sort of leading up to an on-the-spot question for you. If you are interested in participating in the master class, or even if you hadn't thought of it, is there a piece that you would particularly like Anne's comment that we might have a mini master class right here?
There definitely are a couple pieces as I'm nearing the competition that I would love extra time with her on them. As for playing them on the air, they're still not quite masterclass ready. That's my issue right now, is the two-ish pieces I really feel like I need more comments on. I just need 2 more weeks to kind of air them out on my own. And I feel like most of my things that are ready for that would be ready for a master class, I'm actually already playing on the recital. I don't want to make the other students have to hear it twice.
Well, and I would imagine that you don't really want to go into a recital thinking about what did she tell me?
Exactly.
What did she tell me? I just want to play the piece.
It's kind of like, you know, when people prepare for athletics or within the Olympics, you know, it's like kind of pacing yourself and getting both, whether the coach is putting the athlete in the proper head space as well as the physical space. So what would be interesting about this year's class is they are going to get to hear a really big concert piece that's in our repertoire, Foray Impromptu, performed by 3 different people. Anne is going to be performing it, so will be Molly Madden, earlier in the day, and so will Jenny Wong on Thursday night. And the reason they're all playing that foray impromptu is because there's another competition that takes place actually next week in Los Angeles that a couple of them are doing, and it's required. So I think that'll be interesting because also it'll show that you can hear a piece of music very differently, and it can be performed very differently by different people rather than this is the only way to play this piece, you know. So,
well, I know Anne has brought along at least a couple other pieces for us to hear. Which of those would you like to do next?
I think I'm going to play a rondo on Zitty Zitty. And this is from The Barber of Seville. It's a rondo written for harp by a harpist based on this famous trio. And it's a very showy little piece. And I'll be playing this on the noon concert on Friday. Okay. This is an excerpt from it.
All right. Anne McLaughlin, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Music by Gioachino Rossini, excerpt from a trio from the opera, his opera, The Barber of Seville. Ziti Ziti, I don't remember what that means. Do you know offhand?
It's loud, loud, or quickly, quickly. And then, because the next line is piano, piano. So quickly, quickly, softly, softly.
And I imagine somebody's sneaking around.
Yes, the czar, is it, what's the main girl? I'm trying to remember the main girl's name from The Barber of Seville. Her boyfriend and his friend
Rosina?
Are trying to sneak her away from her.
Is that Rosina? I get these the Barber of Seville operas mixed up. You know, Rossini wrote one and Mozart wrote one and probably others. I don't know the story. Either way, we get the idea.
They're sneaking around.
And up to no good or trying to avoid somebody they don't want to encounter. Played here live by Anne McLaughlin on Live and Local. And she'll be playing that piece along with others in two different recitals at the Illinois summer harp class at the University of Illinois this week. It starts on Thursday. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We have support for our broadcast today from Meadows Edge at Clark Lindsay, a new community to be located adjacent to Meadowbrook Park on the east edge of the Clark Lindsay campus. Meadows Edge will offer villa accommodations for active adults looking for condo-style homes. Learn more at clark-lindsay.com, and that's L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 Evening Concert, you'll hear the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. The program does differ from the one listed in our program guide, Patterns Magazine. Instead, David McGill, who is principal bassoonist to the orchestra, will play Mozart's bassoon concerto. Jaap van Zweden conducts. Also on the program, Mahler's First Symphony and Rhapsodies for Orchestra, which is new work by Stephen Stuckey. It's Mozart, Mahler, and Stuckey from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra tonight at 7 o'clock on the Evening Concert right here on FM 90.9. Anne, you mentioned that it's a little bit like you were talking a little bit about preparation for recitals, and you made an analogy, which I realized that I'm in the midst of a sentence, I lost what that analogy was.
Oh, was this with the athletes and just being mentally prepared?
Yeah. Mental preparedness, right, mm-hmm. athletics. I'm thinking about a lot about athletics because I'm a tennis fan. The French Open is going on right now. And mm-hmm. and sometimes, not at the Grand Slams, but at other tournaments, the women tennis players are allowed to have coaches on the field sometime. Mm-hmm. And I wondered what sort of coaching you give to your students shortly before giving a recital, since we were saying you don't want to mix up teaching so close to a performance this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what sort of preparation do you encourage your harpist to do before our performance, other than obviously practice?
Well, I mean, I think so much is in the process before, but if, you know, having those strong fundamentals so you feel secure. But if you're talking right before a performance, I try to put them hopefully in a good headspace, you know, and depending on what the situation is, and it depends on the students. Like, some of them will be very, very critical, and I'll be like, don't forget, you know, you're an expert on this, and if you're not having fun, then why are you doing it? You know, because so much of it, you have to be confident, and you also have to be relaxed. So I try to put them in a positive headspace about that. But then sometimes there's the tough love times, you know, depending, and won't be this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of, because I also want to make sure that they don't have a negative experience, a traumatic experience, you know, that, you know, so, but I mean, I'm very confident and fortunate that they've agreed to play this week and perform. So I mostly tell them to, you know, don't overexert themselves, get lots of rest, be focused, be relaxed, and just remember, be lively in your performance. It's not about getting through it, you know. It's sort of sharing it with whomever, with yourself and also the audience that's listening. You know, and most of the time, they'll be, if you're enjoying yourself, they will enjoy themselves, you know.
Are there such things as diet and nutritional advice for harpists?
I don't know what they're doing in their off time.
Well, I mean, seriously. Because some of the things you said are the same things, sorts of things that I'm sure coaches say to certain athletes. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if, I've never really thought about it much, whether those sorts of things can affect a performance as well on a harp.
Well, I think I won't say, well, I mean, like, some performers absolutely need coffee before they perform, and some absolutely should avoid it because it gets them, you know, too jumpy. You know, eating a banana, there's lots of vitamins. That's what not just for harp, but lots of people do. Mm. Some people don't like to eat a lot during performance. I find if I'm like hungry, the shakes actually affect me more. So I usually, for myself, I try not to sort of have too many things that I need to do before performance. I mean, I should be smart about how I prepare for it, but I also don't want to be, you know, focusing more on what I shouldn't be doing rather than just doing it. So I try not to get too many habits for myself where it's like, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. I do know I need to be rested, I need to be awake enough, I need to be, you know, relaxed and, you know, warmed up. So
the Illinois Summer Harp Class concerts are as follows. Thursday night, 7:30, Chen Yuwang and Julia K. Jameson, both being heard. Friday noon, as we mentioned earlier, Molly Madden and our guest today, Anne McLaughlin. And then Anne will be playing her own recital Friday evening at 7:30. On Saturday, it's billed as the Youth Talents Recital at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I happen to know one of these players, and I think she's wonderful, Thea Kamerling. Also, Sydney Campen, Lydia Weishart, and Chelsea Balmer. Are they all folks from around here?
No, actually. Well, Sydney's coming from Mapleton, but Chelsea and Lydia are coming from Louisville, and they've got a wonderful rendition in costume of Nintendo's Super Mario Brothers, arranged by Lisa Spurlock Gilmore, who has a studio there. And Sydney's actually going to be accompanied by her friend, Star Commande, who's the daughter of David Commande, who's the music director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra, of which Molly Madden performs. So it should be an exciting teen concert, all teens playing on Saturday at 2 p.m. in the Music Building Auditorium.
And then the big participants recital with 16 or so harps will be on Saturday night, 7:30, including the Louisville Harp Academy Quartet, and the world premiere, as was mentioned earlier, of this new piece, hence the world premiere part, One Time Around by Julia K. Jameson, who, of course, is participating in the opening recital. I know you have at least one more piece. We might as well hear some Scarlatti, is it?
Yes, it is Scarlatti.
This is what I guess was originally a keyboard sonata.
Yes, it was originally for harpsichord, and it was transcribed for harp, and then for this competition, I decided to make the piece more my own and more interesting. I would add ornaments in the style, in the Baroque style, and that's what I actually enjoyed most about this piece, is kind of exploring what I could do with that.
Anne McLaughlin, playing music by Domenico Scarlatti,
yes.
Right? Here on Live and Local. a sonata in A major by Domenico Scarlatti played live in our studio on Live and Local by Anne McLaughlin, who will be playing that and other pieces during recitals at the Illinois Summer Harp Class happening at the University of Illinois. If you want the complete schedule, because you forgot it when I ran it down earlier, which is very easy to have happen, you can go to their website, well, for the School of Music, which is music.illinois.edu, and it's easy enough to find going there. My thanks to Anne McLaughlin and to her teacher, Professor Ann Young, who will be directing the harp class, for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Here are some other things you can go see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days, including tonight. At Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, 5:30 this evening, it's August Crow performing. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra is playing in just a couple of minutes at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. The Peoria Bach Festival continues. You can check out their website for a very full schedule. And the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting the musical Fiddler on the Roof Wednesday at 7:30, and that continues for a while, I believe. The house band Upshot, it says here, is at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. Prism is a jazz group playing at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the U of I campus tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Billy Galt is playing at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And on the Krannert Uncorked program, it's the High Cotton Bluegrass Band from Monticello. They're playing at the Krannert Center in Urbana Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. And the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band are playing a couple of times this week, at least at Victory Park in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6:30, and at Shady Nook Pub in Saybrook Thursday evening at 7:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana, with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Thanks for listening. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned for All Things Considered from NPR.